Truck family, welcome back. Another Saturday bonus episode with me, just me this week, hanging out with Laird Hamilton, Gabby Reese, and PJ Nessler. These guys have thrown together the XPT experience, and I was lucky enough to get invited up there, not once, but twice, to go hang out in Laird's pool, Gabby's pool, learn all the fun things. So we got invited up for an XPT industry day, then scheduled an interview with them, got invited back up to go see day one of the XPT experience. Just had a blast, really enjoy hanging out, and was lucky enough to sit down, got an hour to interview them, and brought our boy Colton on the cam with us. So if you are interested in watching the video that goes along with this interview, make sure you get over to the Shrugged YouTube page. The YouTube video is called Underwater Training with Laird Hamilton, Gabby Reese, and PJ Nessler. Had a blast, learned a lot. There's so many big things coming together at XPT, and I feel like the certification, the experience, is something that all people should go take a look at. The science and the practical side of breath work, the hot sauna training, the ice bath training. I've hung out with Andy Galpin a couple times talking about ice baths. There's just a ton of information and science coming out about how important this stuff is for recovery. And then there's very few times you're going to be able to be in a pool lifting weights and understanding some of the principles of down regulation, staying calm, and all doing it in a performance setting. So it was very cool to get up there, and I am incredibly stoked for you to hear this interview. Make sure you get over to the Shrug Collective program vault, shrugcollective.com/vault. We've got 12 programs in there ready for you. Anything from Olympic lifting, mass gain, weight loss, food, prep, grocery, shopping, flight weightlifting. We've got it all. There's mobility programs, strongman programs, 12 or 18 plus month long programs. And then we've got 8-3 plus month accessory programs that you can add to your training. Get over to shrugcollective.com/vault and enjoy the show. Welcome to day one of the XPT experience. We're in Malibu, California. Gabby Reese.
I'm Gabby.
PJ Nessler.
Laird.
And we're hanging out with Laird Hamilton. We're at their house, this beautiful pool back here. And I'm lucky enough that this is my second time to be swimming in this pool, kind of experiencing what's going on. A lot of pieces have come together for me and my journey through fitness. I've been through a lot of sports, a lot of training methodologies, and just starting to understand how down regulation, mindfulness, breath work, and performance kind of all play a role together. And the first time we were out here, I kind of went home and knew something happened to me, but wasn't really sure exactly what it was. We're back again. We get to talk to these guys and really hammer this thing home. We're gonna start with you though. These two chose you to be here to figure out, take this brain and turn it into kind of an experience and a certification so we can start to put some real methods to kind of the madness and understanding how we can roll this out to the general public and understanding what are the real core principles of this. What's a little bit of your background and how you got to this point?
My background is all in sports performance. So I've been a sports performance coach for 11 years. I've worked in the college setting, the private setting, primarily with athletes. Yeah. And then I got connected with XPT a little over a year ago. And my career started to transition from training athletes to the education side. I was running a few sports performance facilities. So I was running internship programs, running coach education programs. And then I started my own business, which was geared towards educating coaches and trainers and building systems and curriculums is really what I've specialized in the past 6 years, because it was something that none of the facilities I worked at really had in place. So it's kind of the way my brain processes information is I look for something and say, how can I progress this, regress this, and break it down. So that's what I've been doing for the past 6 years or so. And then it just worked out perfect timing with XPT. When they reached out to me, they were looking for somebody to do exactly that, what I'd been doing with my own business. So I got to come up and meet these guys and do some training and felt how amazing this stuff was. And I was like, I gotta dig deeper.
Yeah. Well, you start each of these, we've been to two of these now, and you start each of them saying, we all know your alphas in your own right and in your own place of business. Yet I sit in this pool and you stand on that and you manage the alphas really well. I feel like I've been a really lucky person to have great coaches around. I assume in your athletic career, it's been the same, but that athleticism doesn't always transfer into coaching. And it seems like you have found a nice little home in the coaching world here. Where does that come from?
Well, I think what you said is I've had great examples of coaches who had the ability to simultaneously make me feel respected, to push me, and to make me feel safe all at the same time. And so my whole thing was, how do I drop off information? And honestly, especially as a female, with nothing attached to it except a matter-of-factness, but a kindness and a firmness, so that I can get you outside of your comfort, so you're not going to make excuses to me, and almost get you out of your own way. Yeah. And just create the environment for you to excel and to thrive. And I do want to say one thing, though. We'll get into how good you've done.
Second. Yeah. Please,
but
don't,
I want to say,
blow him up.
I want to say what PJ,
it's already hard to live with.
What PJ does for us and has to do for us is so difficult and so complicated, and he executes it on the highest level. So I know he's like, oh, I've been doing this for 6 years, but when you look at his training manuals and curriculums, it's almost like art in itself. Yeah. So both Laird and I mean that genuinely, really acknowledge that, because there's no way we would have the capability, and there's not many people who would. So I really, you know, you can only do so much without people.
Yeah.
That, I mean, there's very few people who can do what PJ does. Now back to you, your first time, because you're kind of a go-get-it person.
Yeah.
Clearly, they know this already.
Yeah.
And what was interesting for me was you took your usual way of doing something and you adjusted, you adapted. And that's something we talk a lot about here. Life is about, really, it's about adapting.
Yeah.
And so you were attacking, and then all of a sudden you decided, we had a conversation, okay, I'm going to try it differently. And to watch you exponentially improve your performance, this is, for me, what is so exciting about watching people,
yeah,
you know, make that progress. So it was really great.
Nice.
But for me, as far as coaching, it's from being around all, I've had great coaches.
Yeah. Where does this come from? We're in the pool training. You clearly, I don't think there's anything that you aren't kind of bringing the highest level of intensity to that you do in life, or at least when it comes to the athletic side of things. But you've been up here in this pool experimenting. Where did the idea of maybe XPT and the pool training, the kind of the principles of the cold and the heat, but when did it start to turn into, like, we have to bring this to the general population so they can understand a lot of the physiological and mental changes that are going to happen with this training?
You know, I think, like any good idea, it's there's like a natural evolution that it kind of has a life of its own. And, you know, again, what Gabby said, you know, being surrounded by great people, PJ, great people, yourself, great people. I mean, that's, you know, I have a saying, you are the company you keep, right? So being surrounded by these people, but out of a necessity, I think, to try to keep evolving as an athlete, try to keep surviving as an athlete, you know, being injured, okay, how do I recover from the injury? How do I sustain performance? How do I keep evolving? What is sustainable training? What, you know, at the end, it becomes sustainable lifestyle. Like, what's a lifestyle that creates sustainable training? Like, all of these, trying to answer all those questions, and then being exposed to, you know, all of these different modalities, and, you know, take a piece from this and a piece from that. And, you know, we have a saying, there's nothing new, it's just a new application of an old idea. So, okay, heat's been around forever. Okay, guys are doing ice, they've been around forever, but combining them, and, you know, pool training has, in forms, have been around forever, but how do you, and then feel the response that it has on you, and be like, okay, well, I can be selfish and just keep it for me and my buddies, or I can try to share it with other people. And I think that's, you know, what we find through all of this is that really it's about sharing with people. And it, you know, it's the selfish act of giving, we call it.
Yeah.
Where you share information, you see the transformations they have. It helps, it makes you feel good, because then you're not completely out of your mind. Like, am I the only person that feels this way? But the fact is that it's really kind of almost an obligation. You
yeah.
feel obligated to want to share with people things that are benefiting you.
Yeah.
But Laird has one thing I know, because I'm more linear than Laird, and we've lived together a really long time.
Yeah.
His natural curiosity and willingness also not to be good at something and just give it a go, and to be creative. I think I always say Laird's the motor
yeah.
behind so many of the things that we all try, and he'll go first. So he'll be like, oh, try that, you know, and you're like, he almost died on that. But, and then we're all like,
Mikey
okay.
likes it or Mikey doesn't
and
like
so,
it.
And I
found the end point.
Yeah, so like, hey, I'm really good at this one thing. Yeah. It's like the willingness to go, well, let me try all these new things. And so I think it's an interesting way to approach training. And you know this from even, you know, doing your job, is sometimes we get so good at something and we don't want to move out of that.
Yeah.
And that's where we, first of all, get hurt. We stop making progress, all these things.
Well, that's where we stop.
Yeah.
We stop ourselves right when we decide that this is what I'm good at and this is what I'm going to, this is how I identify myself.
Yeah. Yeah.
People know me as this. And so I'm going to just stay in that, you know, we call that the harbor of safety.
Yeah.
You're in there, you know how to do it, everything's great. And no one wants to be a beginner. No one wants to look foolish. No one wants to be embarrassed. But
yeah.
That's only for a moment. Get over that stuff. Like, yeah. You'll be good. Like, be embarrassed, fall on your face, sure. Let people laugh at you. And then pretty soon you'll be sitting back and you'll be watching them fall on their face and you'll be going, oh, that wasn't so funny after all, was it? Yeah. Like,
one of the very first times, and to begin this entire day, we go through an hour long breath work. And I owned a CrossFit gym, competed at regionals, did the whole thing to find out that I'm going to be totally fried at the end, yeah. And unhappy and. Exactly what you're talking about, like, where do I go? I have to start over. And the very first thing that I did was I learned how to breathe properly. And we lay down here and you take people through an hour-long breathwork session. There's real stuff that goes on in their brains and there's like an experience. Have you always done this breathwork piece in your training?
Well, I think because the nature of the environment that I do my sport, I'm in the ocean, I'm in the water, and so you better have a relationship with the importance of air.
Yeah.
Like, I have a good idea of how important air is. There's air above the surface, there's no air below.
Yeah.
And when you're down there, all you want to do is be up there. And so I think I established kind of that relationship early. Now I didn't, and I've been exposed to pranayama and apnea and a bunch of free diving techniques. You know, there's a Hawaiian rock carrying technique that you do for training where you run along the bottom with a stone and then you go up and your buddy grabs it and he runs and you take turns until you can't do it. We do that in the summertime to kind of build breath. You know, a lot of our pool work here is kind of based on that concept. Now we just have dumbbells instead of boulders, and we can, you know, throw them over our head. But I have had a long-standing relationship, and then I've, you know, had the fortune to be exposed to, you know, Wim Hof and great pranayama teachers and Tummo techniques and all these different breath kind of
Patrick McCune
and hypoxia training and all these other things. So I started with a real I started with a good relationship with my breath because of the ocean and because of drowning and then the threat of drowning. And I think we all have a built-in DNA downloading on the fear of drowning. I think a lot of humans drowned in our evolution, and so that brings a lot of psyche to that environment. People are like, hey, I'm not good with this under here. This is danger. And that's a big transformative place. That's why there's so much transformation in that environment, because you're going over some deep-rooted genetics, you know?
When you put together a curriculum for breathing, what are you looking for? And we're here with a lot of people that have maybe not experienced any breath work whatsoever, and yet they live in highly stressful environments. They're working in incredibly stressful environments.
They're all breathers.
Yeah. So how do you, when you're putting the curriculum together, kind of start to piece this puzzle together to get people to connect with one, their breath, and two, maybe a little bit of the mindfulness side of things?
Yeah, so we really look at breathing from three different categories, like three-dimensional. There's the biochemical, which we're talking about your CO2, your oxygen, and we can test that, and we can see where people are with their CO2 tolerance. Yeah. And that's a big thing that Patrick McCune talks about and a big influence from him. We also look at the biomechanical, so actual ventilation mechanics, and is there dysfunction there? Just like we look at movement. You know, when we look at someone for movement, we don't look at how well they can move under a bar at a 1 RM. We look at how they move normally during the day. And then we start to add intensity and add load and add different kind of elements of chaos. So we do the same thing for breath work. And then the other aspect of it would be psychophysiological, which is really just, you know, how your mind is kind of influencing your breath, your emotions, because our breath is associated with different things. You know, we have specific patterns that we go into when we're stressed or when we have anxiety or when we have fear. So we create these associations with breath. So it's kind of looking at it from those three pieces.
Yeah.
And then we can assess it. And what I teach is, you know, we're trying to correct overall breathing because we breathe 14 to 20,000 times a day.
Yeah.
So, and people who overbreathe are breathing 30 to 40,000 times a day. So we look at it for how you're breathing during the day, how you're breathing when you sleep, how you're breathing for overall general health to build that foundation. And then we can build the next pieces on top, how you breathe during exercise, how you, when you do intense breath work, that's used to create adaptations, hypoxic training, all those other pieces can be added on top, but it's really starting with the foundation of breath and understanding where there can be dysfunction.
Yeah.
And then identifying that dysfunction and trying to correct it.
Where do people start? Because we went through that hour and there's a lot of like upregulating and then a lot of the downregulating, and we kind of go through this wave of just emotions and breath and everything else. When you're, how do people start getting into kind of that upregulatory side of breath work, and what can they expect?
Usually once they've established a foundation, so we always start with downregulating because that's the thing that people struggle with, everybody in our society.
Yeah.
A lot of the people, you know, your viewers are probably high strung, like to train hard, like to push hard. Everyone who comes to XPT, that's who they are. So we like to teach people how to downregulate. And then when they can control that foundation, then once we've got a good foundation of breathing mechanics, we can breathe into our belly, we can breathe through our nose, then we can teach them how to do it faster,
yeah,
how to do it more intensely. And that's where the upregulation comes in. And we can do that stuff like you did today in the breath work, before you train, when you wake up in the morning. And really it's just about increasing the intensity of the breath. So we do super ventilation, which you can do just really fast breathing. There's
yeah,
a lot of different patterns to do that. Or you can do it through breath holds.
Yeah.
If you do maximum breath holds, anything that's providing a stressor is gonna start to upregulate the system. So it's kind of, we look at it for, if we're doing a maximum breath hold, it's gonna be more upregulation.
Yeah.
If we're doing submaximal breath hold, it'll be a little more downregulation.
Nice.
So we can incorporate that stuff in.
Awesome. The pool, it's like your domain out there.
Oh.
All of the people.
Well, it reminds me, it's just funny because we've all been Laird's crash test dummy for 10 years, literally.
Yeah.
And somehow, and I don't know how it started. I don't know how did it start that I ended up, like, I think Laird's like, yeah, go for it. Because again, my linearness, you know, and also maybe...
Well, I like to bring guys that are a little bit puffy and just be like, hey, babe, can you help me? What I got to do, and then she takes him and the guy comes in, oh, yeah, here we go. And she just goes,
yeah,
and just puts the screw down on him.
That's what he did on my first
oh,
day.
Yeah. Just, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, here, Gabby will help
take
you.
Take PJ in the shallow
yeah,
pool and
yeah,
show him some stuff. And I was,
and then they dropped their guard. Yeah, yeah,
like I was doing the
kid. Even the shallow end.
I was like,
yeah,
oh, good, they're going to
yeah,
do the beginner intro
yeah,
with me. Nope.
Yeah.
Nope.
Well, I think
the depth has nothing to do.
Maybe I'm not as good. I'm pretty decent in the pool,
yeah,
but I'm not as good as Laird. So also my understanding is, in a way, I look at it just a little differently because maybe things that I've struggled with, he didn't. So I can not only articulate it, I can
yeah,
I can understand it. And and
I, and things I struggle with, she doesn't.
And I, that's true. But I think, and also I teach another class. I have a high X class. And so this kind of like on task
yeah,
is really where with Laird, he's like, let's do this and let's do that. And then you'll show up one day, like once you're ready to train with Laird, then it's like, Laird's like, all right, this is what we're doing. You know, on the exhale, like today when I had you guys
yeah,
run through the exhale, I would never have you do it. I had them do it just because
yeah,
they're ready.
Yeah.
One set combined on an exhale and just how that changes
yeah,
everything so much.
Well, she's
so
good at telling people what to do. So like her
yeah,
youngest daughter said once
yeah,
when asked, like, what are you
when
good at? Ideas and telling people
yeah,
what to do. And, but also her background, I think, in team sports plays a big part of that. She's used to having a team of, you know, four or five other girls. And then, okay, hey,
yeah,
we're, you know, hey, here we go. And this is what we're doing. And we're all in a, so I think there's some piece to that that makes
yeah,
her very good at kind of the overseer.
Yeah. All of the pieces that you do here, there's going to be these big breakthroughs, but I really feel like the pool is like this spot because
it is.
Nobody's in water.
It is.
Like you can find an ice bath. Everyone's sort
yeah,
of been in a sauna, but you have access to people's brains because they're in a very vulnerable spot there.
Yeah.
And what is some of the, I guess, kind of the process if somebody shows up to XPT that's never been in the water and is terrified of what may happen, and now all of a sudden we hand them a 15-pound dumbbell and they find themselves stuck on the bottom.
Yeah.
What is that kind of the mental process, and How do you coach people through that?
So yeah, huge transformation.
We've had that a lot.
Opportunity.
And what you do is you never put them in a situation under your watch that they're stuck at the bottom. You only put them in situations that they're it's an okay bottom for them to be in. So, for example, you keep them in the shallow. You can see it very quickly when you're around people. You sort of understand where they're at, and it's about bringing them along. Laird and I talk about this a lot, and PJ's a great example of a trainer who knows how to do this. We're bringing you along.
Yeah,
you're not doing what I'm doing. We're bringing you along. So really, it's about customizing each experience for that person and being conscious enough and aware enough of like, hey, where is this at? Are they uncomfortable? Or are they afraid? Are they scared?
Yeah, and there's a technique. There's a technique with helping someone learn about having time.
Yeah.
To learn about that there's time, and there's small techniques that we can use in the beginning to make them start to understand that there's always time.
So much time.
That no matter what, there's time. That you're gonna have time to put the things down. You're gonna have time to get up to the top.
Yeah.
And I always quote this military quote, which is, you know, slow and smooth is fast. You know, what we find in the water is if you try to use aggression, which normally works very good in most land-based things, you add aggression.
Yeah.
Like you can't make it, you just grunt a little harder and push a little more. This thing, when you do that,
it just wants you.
It wants you.
Everyone that I talk to that, you know, we have access to a lot of people that are really smart, and it feels like the conversation has gotten away from intensity, push, go, to let's see how far we can push things, but only while we're in this parasympathetic state. And the pool really does that because it's efficiency of movement. Mm-hmm. It's how calm can you stay? And if you get to that point, you don't realize, hey, I've got an extra 15 seconds. It's not a big deal. That may have been one of the biggest things, just getting to the end of it and realizing I don't have to drop the weight. Like, you can just go to the bottom and set it down and come up.
Yeah.
And when you're in there for the first time, you freak out. You have no idea. Rip the mask off. It was literally the first one of the things. Like, why'd you throw your mask? Like, why would you do that? Well, I didn't think I had any air. And she's like, well, you clearly had enough air to throw your mask halfway across the pool like you're dying. Like, makes a lot of sense.
You know, the other thing, too, is when you have somebody who's afraid, is you remind them how brave they are.
Yeah.
Being there. And this goes back to if you're doing real coaching, if Laird's helping me or PJ's helping me, when they reminding me that they respect me and they're taking care of me. And I think that's what you have to do with people here. It's like, oh no, you're not vulnerable. We're taking care of you. And the fact that you're here and you're uncomfortable, I admire that. And I want you to know that. So what you're trying to do simultaneously is like build them up, push them up, and support them. Because listen, if you're not a swimmer, or you like, well, we had a guy here, special ops or something, just an incredible guy, didn't really start to swim till he was 13, so not really intuitive.
Not happy about the water, at all.
And just did it. He said he used to do things because he had to for his training.
Yeah.
But and it's like that reminder of like, hey, what you're doing.
Well, you're not alone.
And doing something
that's another
different thing.
Yeah, you're not alone. You're not alone. You're not the only one that's feeling that has felt like that. That's a big part of it too. Is that and you know when we first started, we had like Velcroed on weight vests and stuff, and like we'd be treading next to the edge of the pool, so you could just grab the edge. Now you come in and you're as a student, you come in to an environment where you can see every different gender, size, shape, my 10-year-old daughter, a 7-foot guy, a woman, a man, and everybody's doing it. So you're coming into this environment, getting to see how it's done, which is a big advantage. You're not coming into an unknown and you're the only one by yourself. And here, I'm going to throw you in the deep end with a giant weight. So there is that benefit too, that they're coming into this kind of environment where it's the normal. That's normal. You take those weights, you go down there, and somebody you can watch and be like, wow, that guy just did that and he did that. And, and so that makes a big difference too for in building confidence in people.
Hope you guys are digging the show. Make sure you get over to MuscleGainChallenge.com. We've got a free ebook over there, How to Get Strong. What do you think you're gonna learn when you download that ebook? Yeah, that's right. How to get strong. MuscleGainChallenge.com. All a part of the Shrug Collective program vault. This mass gain program was designed to put 26 pounds on you in 26 weeks. If you're doing the math, that's 1 pound per week. If you're also doing the math, that's a lot of food. That's a lot of lifting weights. That's a lot of getting super yoked. MassGainChallenge.com. Get your free ebook. Come and hang out with us. The people are getting strong. They're in our private Facebook group posting videos. I get to see all the results. I love it. Make sure you get over to MuscleGainChallenge.com. Let's get back to the show.
Your first day, you may not leave the shallow.
Yeah.
And that's still a success.
Sure.
Yeah.
And I think that's one of the big takeaways that I learned with these guys was when I first came here and seeing how they set everyone up for success and they provide everyone, like, here's your wall and all we want you to do is get over that. Don't worry about what they're doing. And I think when I first started doing pool training, I trained fighters, so I expect these people to just be able to run through a wall. And I saw a lot of fear in the pool, and I had one of my athletes who, she came over to, she said she just wants to do the ice bath, she doesn't want to do the pool because she almost drowned when she was little and she does not swim. And I said, then the pool is exactly what you need. And all she did the whole day was walk along the pool, putting her face in the water. And she hadn't done that in, you know, 20 years. And she had the biggest breakthrough of anybody that day, felt the biggest sense of accomplishment. And all she was doing was walking with her face in the water. And I had athletes who were doing crazy stuff. And I think that was really powerful for me to see, you know, how these guys do that, how they coach that, feel it myself, and then, you know, feel comfortable to be able to push through that barrier and understand where everyone's kind of levels are.
It's really important, just the scalability of everything, the ability just to walk across with your face underwater.
Yeah.
You don't have to go to the deep end and jump up and down in 12 foot water.
But there's a trickle down effect that has. She has that experience. She walks with her face down, comes out of it, has this whole, has a whole kind of evolution. When she goes into the rest of her life, that stuff spilling over. It's gonna when she goes into a situation that she's good at, that she has a lot of confidence in, I think she's gonna have another gear that she didn't have because she had this barrier that she didn't even know was in her. Yeah. That this thing was holding her back.
This is important.
I know
that.
For
me, it's the most important piece. Besides being ballistic and not pounding your joints, okay, and all the advantages, oxygen, compression, okay, great. It's putting yourself in an environment where you are working and you feel uncomfortable and you say to yourself, I recognize I feel uncomfortable, I actually feel overwhelmed, and I'm okay.
Yeah,
because then you can bring that to real life. I mean, what are we really training for? Are we all professional, you know, CrossFitters or pool trainers or, you know, Gold's Gym? Like, it's like, okay, a few people make a living at that, but can we also use this time to enhance our performance in life?
Yeah, our sleep, our everything, our overall wellness. It's our overall wellness.
Yeah, and you do a lot of coaching on the ice bath and the sauna side. What, in doing those contrasting pieces, I mean, everyone's probably seen a YouTube video of jumping an ice bath and the person jumps out. Like they've never felt anything cold before. A SoCal people. It's like a good hot spot for good YouTube videos of people getting an ice. Never felt anything less than 65 degrees. What's going on with the ice?
Well, again, with the mindset piece, I think the biggest thing, when we take people through the ice and the experience, it's really step one is understanding if we put them in this stressful situation, they're going to get panicky, they're going to feel pain, but understanding that these are all just emotional these are sensations. You know, you're not, because you have pain in your foot, we're not doing any damage to your foot. You're not going to, there's nothing long-term happening, but you're feeling these sensations. So can you overcome those? And we saw some people today who immediate response is, and they can't get the tension out of their face. They can't slow their breath. They're overwhelmed. So I think, and that's again where we see people who have major breakthroughs is when they realize, I get them to focus on the breath, whatever the breathing it is. Laird says, just through the nose, just breathe through the nose. That's the only goal, just breathe through the nose. I like to get them to start to elongate the exhales and just, even if it's 2 seconds, okay, keep going, 3 seconds. Yeah. And once they start to get that, and then they're able to relax their shoulders, and then they're able to relax their face, and then all of a sudden, they finish 3 minutes in the ice when they were thinking the first 5 seconds, there's no chance I'm staying here for more than 10 seconds. And that's step one for people. And that's something that helped me a lot with the pool and with the ice was that has transcended into other things for my life. I have extreme claustrophobia. I used to have panic attacks on the airplane, couldn't do MRIs, and in the past year, I don't take any anti-anxiety medicine when I fly. I've had a few almost panic attacks that I've been able to overcome and mitigate with my mind and my breathing, exactly like I do in the ice bath and exactly like I do in the pool, which again was just something that started clicking for me, like that there's so much more power to this stuff than just the science that we have, which there's plenty of, but there's so much more power to this stuff than that.
I think the science stuff is kind of catching up, right? Like we hung out with Galpin a little bit and his, and he was like, here's all the things that we're seeing. We know it works. It's working on professional athletes. It's working on people with anxiety. It's working on everyone, but it's working in so many different areas and on this, like, just such a wide spectrum that it's hard to pinpoint, which everyone loves. Like, if I get in the ice bath, I'll lose 10 pounds. Like, it's probably not going to happen like that.
Yeah.
But we could talk about, like, brown fat.
Yeah.
And
it could have some other metabolic effect that we don't know. But we know one thing. When you get in there and you come out, you feel better.
Yeah.
You feel, it makes you, it does something to you that for that reason alone would be good.
Short-term and long-term.
Yeah, the general idea.
Immediately and then two, 3 days later.
Yeah, expose yourself to something that isn't 75 degrees. I have a heater and air conditioning in my house. It never gets below 65. That's ridiculous. But I have it.
Yeah.
I have to stay comfortable all the time or my life will end.
Yeah.
That's the downfall of humanity.
Right?
Seriously.
Comfortable.
The light has to be perfect. Not too bright. Not too dark.
Wouldn't want to be.
Not too hot. Not too cold. Everything just perfect. And then we just,
gets caught smaller and smaller.
Yeah.
And that's one of our big goals
is
creating.
More vulnerable.
Yeah.
I tell people at the certification, one of the underlying things that we're trying to create is the most versatile and resilient human beings possible.
Yeah.
And you only do that by constantly finding these different ways to stress your system and getting out of the convenience and the comfort. Because that's what our whole society has gone towards. Modern society is comfortable and convenient, and everything is temperature controlled. So the more we can get outside that box, the more versatile and resilient we're going to be.
And on one side that's catching on is the ice, but the sauna's also turned into like a pretty, I wouldn't say mainstream, but it's starting to get a lot of press of a lot of what the benefits of being in very hot conditions. Where's your brain at that in understanding kind of the contrasting temperature pieces?
Yeah, so there's a lot of emerging science on saunas, ice baths, and the contrast. And I think it's because more people are starting to do it, so now they're actually starting to look at it. And they're starting to look back at societies who've been doing this all the time. We're seeing research coming out on, you know, the Finnish people who do it, and they've seen that the more often they were using the sauna, the lower risk they had for strokes, heart attacks, all-cause mortality.
That's my favorite word, by the way.
All-cause mortality.
I just love that
word.
But as soon as I heard that word, I go, that's one of my favorite words in the world. Means pretty much any way you can die.
Yeah, okay, any way you can die, you're less likely to do it if you spend more time in there.
Sure.
So, it keeps coming out, and people have done that for a long time because it feels good.
Yeah, that's right.
The ice bath doesn't feel good when you're in there, which is why there's probably a lot less research behind it because
in our program,
people weren't doing it.
Yeah, we have a lot of programming on the cold side, negative, you know, you're going to catch a cold, you have a cold. These are all very negative things. So we connect negativity to cold. Heat is warmth.
Yeah.
So that's where the cold, that's why I think the ice is, and the intensity, you know, 15, 20 minutes in a sauna, 3 to 5 minutes in a cold. I mean, this is, you know, 3 to 5 times more intense.
Yeah.
And it has a bunch of negative things that programming that we're going against. We're going against a lot of programming in here, not in here, but in here. And so we're overriding that.
One of the easiest and most obvious ways I've ever kind of seen the body adapt is just going to hot yoga classes. The very first hot yoga class you go to, you're going to die. You're like the sloppy kid in the corner in your own sweat and it's gross. And like, there's some like 130-pound girl that's going to come over to you and be like, are you okay?
You're slipping on your own
mat.
Here's a snorkel. Here's a snorkel on a sponge.
Yeah. And then two weeks later, it's okay. And you can show up 10 minutes early, like do some breath work before you start. It's really not a big deal. There's a lot of kind of research and talk about like heat shock proteins. And Rhonda Patrick's doing a ton of work in this stuff.
Yeah, performance enhancement.
Can we simplify some of that stuff so that heat shock protein is just a way out there term for a lot of people?
Yeah, I think that a lot of the stuff with heat shock and cold shock proteins is that we have these things that are activated by being in extreme heat or extreme cold, and they help us deal with those temperatures. But they're also responsible for a whole bunch of other really, really important things in the body.
Yeah.
A lot of them are like cleaning up damaged cells and damaged proteins and damaged DNA. So cell autophagy is a word that gets thrown around a lot now with intermittent fasting and stuff like that. And that's what a lot of these different proteins are responsible for in the body, as well as a whole bunch of other things like immune system function. So the theory behind it, and it's not proven yet because we just haven't studied it, is that by activating these things more regularly, they're going to be better at doing all the other things. And we've seen some of that in, you know, animal studies and stuff, but the human trials doing this stuff regularly is just not there yet. But that's where a lot of this is really promising, because we know it works. We've been doing it for a long time. We have people who swear by it. And the more research that comes out, the more we see it. But it's not there yet. But we feel it. We know that it's doing something. And I'm sure that the more this stuff comes out, the more we're going to see benefits that we don't even know yet.
That's one thing that I think is so awesome out here. Like, when I found CrossFit 11, 12 years ago, it was like, this thing's combining a lot of things that I really need in my life, whether it was the teamwork, the sport, the fact that I just love strength and conditioning, and it just kind of combined it all into this cool little package where we got to go play every day. And I feel like all of the pieces of my training that I've kind of siloed in breath work, down regulation, strength conditioning, performance training, this kind of combines it all into this awesome little spot. And we have a pool to kind of test how far we can go and get into the ice bath and really put ourselves in an uncomfortable spot. And how much can you chill out when you're really uncomfortable is like very important. How much of the strength conditioning piece is still going on? I know everyone's at a gym right now, but what do those training programs look like in relation to using the pool, heat and cold, and the breath work?
Regular strength and conditioning is a big part of it. Our pillars are breathe, move, recover. And movement to us is pool training, but it's also foundational strength training. It's also different types of energy system development. So when we do our daily training, we have it set up where it's really kind of an entry level. We have it's free on our website, and it's an entry level where people, if they just want to see what XPT is about, they can follow along with this, and they'll get 2 days a week in the gym that's primarily focused on strength training. They'll get 1 to 2 days that's more high intensity, that's intensity days, and that can be low intensity aerobic work, high intensity interval work, anything across that spectrum. They'll get nature workouts, and then they'll get exposure days, and we can kind of piece all those things together. So it's a huge part of it.
Yeah.
And it's something that we don't teach a ton at the certification, because we're not taking a stand and saying that you should exercise this way.
Yeah.
What we're saying is, if you exercise that way and that's what you love, if you love CrossFit, you probably should also do some maybe agility work, because you're doing a lot of sagittal plane stuff. If you want to be the most versatile and resilient person possible, then you need to understand that there's 10 different buckets here.
Yeah.
And you need to understand that your favorite one is probably great. We love yoga. We love endurance running. We love CrossFit. We love powerlifting. They're all pieces of the puzzle. Yeah. But if they become the only piece, you're going to sacrifice your versatility.
It's one of the things that I really struggled with for a long time, was it was like, we kind of got to a point where it's like, you're going to stand in this box with 2 feet on the ground, and you're going to look straight ahead and just pick this up and stand here and suffer. It's like, there's so much more to athletics and training. And we have to understand like full concepts of movement and how it applies to sport and training. And we have to really start to incorporate so many more domains than just speed, intensity, and learning how to breathe is a really, really important piece. Yeah. When we start to bring this out to the public, how we've got kind of two pieces, what we're here for, the experience and then the certification, how did you guys start to roll that out and present this to the public?
Well, we had to do the experiences first long enough. First, we did it long enough ourselves. Then it was,
and
like,
subjected our friends and family.
They're not
other
friends.
Guinea pigs, other
anybody who happened to show up one day,
sort of come like through the gate,
the mailman.
A system, names in place, and things where it's like, no, we could create a curriculum. I can run, you know, Laird can, or I or PJ or anybody could run you through a workout.
Yeah.
And give you those tools. Then it was like, okay, now we're going to do certification, because this man hours, there's only so many man hours.
And we can
hours.
Only touch so many people.
And Larry
at the
wants
end,
to surf, really. So, you know, it's like he's
just
not
that.
Be
there's
like,
always
hey.
That.
Work.
Yeah, exactly. And
very
so,
hard.
You know, PJ, like we were saying, is the one who really helped put it. We knew we had to do pen to paper and do the certifications. And to be really clear, who is going to be certified in XPT breathing and thermoregulating? Not all of those people will be certified to train the pool. because the pool is dead serious.
Yeah.
And so one thing that we're really going to be on is the dead seriousness of the pool and making sure that who's executing the information is can
it's a reflection of us too. Yeah. Like is it because well, because at the end we want it to be we want to protect the people. We want to make sure that they have a great experience and this is something they can continue to do indefinitely.
Yeah.
So these certifications will sort of have these dimensions and levels to them and so we'll always have the experiences, and then now the focus is also obviously on the certification. So even, for example, we'll have XPT certified trainers that would do 1-day experiences. So if the householder says, yo, I appreciate your 2.5-day experience, I have time and money for 1 day, that we have figured out ways to condense the experience.
Yeah. And there's a limitation. If we can only do the experiences, that means we can only touch so many people.
Yep.
And at a certain point, that's limiting. There's a limitation to that. And this information is too important for people to at least not have access to make their own decision. And so at the end, we want to be able to expose it to so that they can come and experience it and be like, actually, yes, that's what I need. Or, oh yeah, I like this, but they can sift through it and decide what they want for themselves.
Honestly, even if they come away with the breathing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Perfect. And now
the heat and ice. It's like
people are doing like ice parties where their friends come every once a week and everybody brings ice. So,
I have more friends with freezers in their backyard now than I've ever would have thought.
But think about
this. That's a thing.
What's really happening?
It's not for frozen food.
People are getting together.
Or it is.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It's what you liked about CrossFit.
Yeah.
It's actually a time for people to say, hey, we're together.
Yeah.
And that, when we talk about this puzzle, these pieces of self-care and wellness and happiness, that is a very big piece.
Yeah.
Hey, you're going to show up to my house and help me be better.
Yeah.
And I can actually tell you about like my day and you can say, oh, well, okay. These things are, this gets so overlooked. And
this is the invisible modality within
all of it.
XPT,
within
CrossFit, within every single thing is the invisible modality of community, of the friendship, of the, hey, you know what, today I'm kind of tired. I don't really feel like training, but the guy's like, knock, 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 knock. Hey, what are we doing today? Like, I guess we're doing something. Here we go, you know?
And,
exactly.
But that's it.
It might be and you build bonds on stress.
Well,
the stress build bonds.
Exactly. It's a shared experience of pain.
For sure.
That everybody wants to come to
and
it.
Control.
To talk about it later.
The conversations.
We overcame this.
Yeah.
Yeah. The conversations that go on in the sauna as soon as you've gotten out of the ice, you're in the sauna, you're in close quarters, there's no phones, there's no nothing, it's hot, you're sweating. I mean, people, we were just talking about it earlier, the conversations you have in there are just amazing.
Not a lot of lying in there. You can't really lie in the sauna. It's like we call it the truth barrel. Like you get in there and you just start reciting the thing and I blah blah blah, and some people look over like, well, I didn't really want to know all of that, but that's fine. Okay, keep on. But that feeling, that community, really, when you walk away from it, when it's said and done, you have a transformation, but spiritually too. You have something that we need spiritually. We need this.
Yeah.
We need this bond.
And I think it's a paradigm shift. It's something that I heard from Gabby when I first came up here, and I've been telling it to everybody, is just her kind of approach to community, which is, what could be a better way to spend your time with your loved ones than taking care of your health? So it kind of changes that mindset of like, hey, we can get together and train in the pool and hang out in the sauna and catch up. We don't have to go to the bar and have 8 drinks just for the sake of getting together. We can just get people together to do things, to explore, and that was something, again, just my friendships, the people that I surround myself with at home now are the people who see videos of my freezer and like, hey, I want to come over and do that. Come over.
Yeah.
We'll hang out, we'll talk, we'll get to know each other, and I look way more forward to that than like, let's go out for drinks.
That's just, and there's not a lot of anymore. I mean, you can agree or disagree, but I feel like there's not a lot of, well, I did 4 laps with the 50-pound dumbbell. Yeah. How many did you do?
Yeah.
Like, and I did it in 2 minutes. How many minutes did you do? So we leave some of that out. I think at the end of the day, it's like, hey, it's cold. You stayed 5 minutes. I don't really care. I only stayed 3 minutes. I'm good. So we don't, some part of it is these modalities don't kind of necessarily breed that immediate like competitiveness amongst us, and I think that helps everybody also kind of relax and be cool with just the community part of it. Like, hey, they're suffering, and I might be able to do one thing a little bit better, and you can be, and one day I'm not so good, and you're better, and one day I'm a little better, and you're not. And I mean, I think that's a big part. It's like, kind of like we're going through it together instead of we're it's combative while we're going through it, because I think that can hold us back a little bit.
The experience of getting in a cold tub will definitely override any confidence, because it's so humbling the second you jump in that
you're good.
Any shit you were about to talk to your friend is done, because you don't have enough air to say anything to them.
You're too busy trying to think about just surviving.
When you're piecing together the certification, though, because coaches are going to be going out and taking these concepts and applying them, how do you build that curriculum? So taking somebody that's never been here and then walking out with at least some of the tools to be able to help others in this process.
Really, the goal of the certification is to give them the principles, teach them the principles. What is the breath work rooted on? What are the foundational components of all the different methods? People want to know, what was the breathing Laird did this morning? And I'm like, that's not the goal. The goal is understand. I want you to be able to listen to Laird's breathing and go, okay, this is what he's doing. This is what's happening physiologically with those people. If you can understand that, you can create your own breathing sessions, your own practices. So that's the goal. So it's a lot of foundational theory to understand the principles, and then practical application. Now let's get together and let's coach it. And there's a lot of them coaching each other. They coach me. So it's a lot of just practicing to go through these things. So they can experience it, and then they can practice coaching people through it as they're experiencing it. So that's really what it is. It's the principles behind stuff, and then they can start to, then we'll give them the methods as well. But another really cool thing about XPT is it's ever evolving.
Yeah.
So we're going to have a network of certified coaches that are going to change the face of what XPT is in the course of the next couple of years, because they're going to go take it and do it with their people and bring their own unique spin to it and say, hey, have you guys ever tried this thing? I mean, we had, I was telling Laird, we had a pararescue men who came and took the certification, and him and I hung out for an hour afterwards, and he was telling me about stuff they did in their training to become special forces, and I was like, that's a really cool drill. And I told Laird, he goes, that's XPT. We need to start doing that stuff. So it's ever evolving. So we want these people to understand the foundation, the principles, the philosophies, and then continue to change it and evolve it. Not like, here's our structure, you coach it this way, or it's not XPT. Yeah.
You say it a lot at the beginning, just in the breath work. If we can just get people to recognize how basic it is to breathe through your nose, and we could solve so many problems just in teaching people this is the proper way to just get air. And if you go through a coaching experience, and I would bet that even half the trainers don't even understand this. It took me forever to learn. Like, I just wanted to lift all the weights. Like, that's
all of them.
Cool. Yeah. And then it was like, maybe there's a little bit more to this. And you start kind of chipping away at this big problem or the thing that you're passionate about or just whatever it is in this endless pursuit of learning about it. And who knew that you could just breathe properly and change your life? And I think that when you go to a certification, you're not going to walk out. Like, I think people think that you go to a certification, you could just, I'm going to go open a gym and I'm ready. It's like, no, what you did was you just let somebody fill your brain with ideas, and now you have to go practice. Yeah. You got to figure out how to talk to people, and you have to figure out what those ideas are and how they relate to the people that you're working with. Like, you can't teach a 60-year-old that's injured and whatever she's dealing with or he's dealing with in a specific way that you're going to talk to a 23-year-old athlete that is going hard every single day. But what we can do is take principles and apply them to people and start to really change the way people pursue wellness and even performance, which we can push that a little bit further along. Where can people learn about the certifications?
XPT Life.
XPTLife.com/certification.
And then the experiences, same thing.
Yep.
I believe it's /experience. Everything's on XPTLife.com. Mm-hmm.
Right on.
Or just call PJ directly.
Yep. We'll give my cell phone number. Yeah. Call me any time of day.
Link at the bottom. PJ's 1-800.
Any questions you have on anything, just call me.
Where are the upcoming certifications? You guys have one in Chicago coming up?
Chicago next week.
Edit that one out.
We'll be in New York in September.
Awesome.
We'll be in Houston in October. We'll be back in LA and then possibly Australia in November.
Very cool.
And then we'll be probably Miami in December. That one's not confirmed yet.
Awesome.
So we're doing one a month, and we're just starting to take them around the country and hopefully out of the country as well.
Very cool. If people want to learn about Laird Hamilton, where do they go?
Look at Laird. He's like
to the ocean and just look out.
Yeah.
Where is he?
I made him watch the video on the way up. I was showing him the spot in Malibu where he shot the pier 4 years ago. Yeah. He had never seen it. He calls himself a surfer. He wears no clothes.
He's got blonde hair.
He doesn't even know.
Theo, is it the perception of danger?
That's right.
Yeah.
Perception of danger.
Perceived danger.
Perceived danger. Yeah, because
it's all about the perceived danger.
That people made such a big deal about that, and we joke because what Laird's doing on a regular basis on Kauai, in Hawaii, is much more dangerous, but. That, like, oh, because, he shot the pier.
Yeah.
You're between two telephone poles.
Like, what are they talking about?
I really feel bad for the guy that was behind you. He was doing fantastic. Yeah. He got no credit.
Again, just 1 inch out of the, out of the light.
LairdHamilton.com. But Laird.
Yeah, LairdHamilton.com. XPT. Yeah.
XPT.
Look out at the ocean. Think, I know he's out there somewhere.
Yeah, exactly.
What do you got?
A lot of my stuff's on XPT, social media and website, and then I put a lot of stuff on my own social media, which is just Coach PJ Nestler.
Very cool. Yeah, awesome Instagram stuff. And, teaching people things.
And Gabby.
That's the goal.
Gabby?
Gabby, I'm here. I'm good.
GabbyReese.com. Go find her.
Yeah, Reese with the C. I really appreciate you coming here, and like it's fun because the first day we didn't have that much time.
Yeah.
Yep.
And I thought you had an incredible breakthrough, and then now it's like you can do some of the work. Now we can go, okay, let's see how we can turn it into work. And that only took a day. So if you think about it, it's a short period of time.
Well, the things that roll through my brain when I do this stuff, it's like I want to learn and then go sleep and then wake up tomorrow morning and do it right away.
Yeah.
Because...
For sure. Implement fresh.
The progression after day one. And then the next morning I woke up and I was like, I need a pool. I need to go... do that again because I need to hardwire whatever that was, that calm,
get that groove in,
understanding it, and until you're just in it and hardwiring that stuff,
it's true.
It's like this fleeting thing, so coming back is very cool.
Well, and I said to Kenny King, because you guys were doing some pretty rigorous drills today, I said he was trying to accomplish a task that he was there, and I said, and we were talking about it, and I said, when you come on Friday with other things, now your brain's kind of worked out all the stuff, because it's a lot of information. Then you'll just go. And sometimes I think people don't give themselves enough time or credit to go, wait a second, I'm processing a lot of stuff right now.
Yeah.
Give myself a break.
Yeah.
And then I'll work through it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, learning is the most exhausting process that we do.
Yeah. So true.
Yeah. The just general exposure to it is anytime there's something new, and like you were talking about at the beginning, like we get weird and we get scared to go out and try something new because we're going to suck at it. I think that I try and find those experiences because the learning curve's awesome.
Yeah.
When you're already good at something, it totally sucks.
Getting
better at something that you're already
good at,
pretty much at your genetic potential for, is terrible.
It is terrible.
You just waste a lot of your time.
It's so small.
What's the point? Just put me in a pool.
The curve is just leveled off.
Okay, yeah.
It's just leveled off.
Yeah.
The curve
where, but that's also why you look happy.
Yeah.
Exactly.
If you are... an athlete, if you're a CrossFitter, if you are looking for the next phase of your training, make sure you get to xptlife.com. I've had a blast up here the 2 days that we've been able to train. Thank you guys. From the coaching to just the leadership, the people that we're working with here, it's been phenomenal, and I'm very grateful that you guys
aloha
let us into
thank
your
you.
Home
yeah.
to do this.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And we will be doing a lot more with these guys in the future, so I'll see you guys next week.